Good evening and welcome to KCEO Radio AM 1000. This is the 11th Hour Ministries coming to you from North County, Southern California. And we're here tonight to share the mystery of the gospel, the word of God according to the Bible. And we at the 11th Hour Ministries are so excited that we have the blessing to be able to read the Bible and share the true word of God. And we put this hour together so that we can share what we call the miracle in motion. This is God's true word to us, his gift to us. And we here at the 11th Hour Ministries, without it, unequivocally believe that it's the true word of God directly from the Bible that is the guiding light of this world. It's the thing that in this world is missing most from how people handle each other and the things that we do to interact with each other. And so tonight we'd like to spend the next hour as just sharing the truth and the word of God through the Bible on this Father's Day. And we're very excited here tonight on Father's Day to be able to worship and honor our Father, which is our Father God. And what a privilege it is to be able to spend an hour on the air speaking about our Father God, worshiping our Father God, revering our Father God, and just loving him, sharing his love, sharing his truth. And the greatest way we can show God how much we love him is to be in his word. He gave us the Bible, which is his gift to us, and he is asking of us and calling of us to get into his word, to get into the truth, which is a living and active scripture that will help guide us in the ways that he wants us to live our lives. It's what he built and created us for, the instruction for the way he wants us to be an example to each other in this world and to show our true dedication to him. We absolutely are just thrilled here to be able to spend the Father's Day on the radio reading the Bible with those who are listening. And tonight we'd like to open with a prayer, and that is that God, we ask that you would please forgive us for all the sins that we committed to this moment in time. God, all the people that are listening, we ask that you, God, even the people that aren't at this evening, that you would to bring to them clarity on your truth and your love. God, that you would forgive us for all the trespasses that we trespass against each other and forgive us our trespasses, God. But more importantly is to bring to our attention the things we do that are a violation of you, the things we do to trespass against you. God, when we're moving in the right direction, give us the signal that in warmth and comfort, God, that we're doing the right thing. And when we do step out of line, God, or move in a direction that is not worthy of you or is not giving you your true, God, your true believing Christian walk, that you would turn us, God, and drop us to our knees. God, that any person out there, including myself, God, when we do things that are not pleasing to you, that you would correct us, God. The Bible says where those that we are to love correction. And with God, we ask that you would open our hearts and souls and minds and spirits tonight to your truth, that you would show us your will and your way, God, in this lost and dark world, and that whatever message that you would have tonight be heard, that God, each one of us could take away from this fulfillment of your truth in Scripture and your pureness. And we thank you for even being able to call out your name. We pray for all that in the name of Jesus, our brother. Amen. And so here tonight on the 11th Hour Ministries, like I said, is we're here studying the mystery of the gospel. This is the 20th century application to timeless instruction. The Bible is living and active. It's a document that has been written starting 2,000 years ago and just prior to that, and 5,000 years from now, 10,000 years from now, it still applies tremendously and specifically to our lives today, and it will 5 and 10, and there's no end to the amount of time that it will continue to guide and correct us and show us the truth and the will of God in our lives. And so tonight we're going to study scriptures. It's all about Father's Day, Father God, and the scriptures that are in conjunction with the Lord, our Father, and any fathers that are out there. So we're going to start tonight with some scripture. We're going to open the phone, the radio here to Jay, who's my nephew, who's got some scriptures to share with you and some awesome testimony.
Thanks. First off, I'd like to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there that are listening. And the scriptures I'm going to share from the Bible Promise book. And the first category is children. And the first scripture is Isaiah 44:33. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. The next scripture that I want to read is Psalm 128:3. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. The next scripture is Proverbs 17:6. Children's children are crowned to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children.
Amen.
And the next title is Children's Duties. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And that to me was super powerful, because not only our earthly parents, but our Father in heaven as well. Deuteronomy 27:16 says, cursed is the man who dishonors his father or his mother. And Proverbs 6:20 says, my son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching.
Amen.
And one of my favorite scriptures is actually one that my father taught me. Proverbs 13:1 says, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke.
Wow.
And Proverbs 15:5 says, a fool spurns his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. Proverbs 10:1 says, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son griefs to his mother. Proverbs 23:22 says, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old.
Wow.
And Proverbs 23:24-26, the father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes keep to my ways.
Wow.
And the next topic is brotherly love. 1 John 2:10 reads, whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing to make him stumble. And 1 John 3:18 says, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth.
Amen.
And that, again, is another huge scripture for me. I mean, to actually show someone instead of just telling them that you love them. And the final topic is parents' duties. Proverbs 22:6 says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it.
Amen.
Proverbs 29:17 reads, discipline your son, and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. Ephesians 6:4 reads, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged.
Amen. So, Jay, you mentioned your brother, your father, who happens to be my brother, Jim. And, you know, you bring up a scripture in Proverbs that your father taught you. How old were you when you recall that scripture being shared with you by your father?
About 13 or 14 years old.
13 or 14. So, when that scripture was read to you and you were a young buck in life, do you think that particular scripture has changed what could have been in your life without it? Do you believe it kept you centered with the direction you should go in God's way versus man's way? What kind of an impact do you think it had in your life?
Definitely in the beginning of the time that I heard the scripture, it had changed our relationship between me and my father personally, because, you know, if we'd get into a little bit of a argument, he would just be like, what does Proverbs 13:1 say? You know what I mean?
Amen, bro.
And
can't argue with God.
You know, so definitely changed our relationship together, and we did have some rough times, but now me and my dad we couldn't be any closer.
Amen.
I definitely thank God, my Father in heaven, for that one.
Amen. Well, you know, it's interesting is that how the Bible instructs us, actually, by Jesus' own words, to pray to God or our Father is comes in Matthew, and that starts in 6:5, actually. And it says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to our Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And Jesus himself is calling upon his Father to, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And what he's speaking of as daily bread is our the daily word, to read the Bible daily. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. What an awesome way that God and Jesus have shown us the importance of a father. I actually look at our world today and wonder, in a collective group of people, you know, if we can always just focus on how badly a group of people can be fooled or tricked by Satan or Satan's schemes into thinking that just because everyone else is doing something, that it's right. Let's go back in history, and the most outlandish, the most shameful, the most pathetic example of what a group of people can do by getting behind a person who is not godly is Hitler. And his regime in this world, and the hate and death and poison that came from that whole regime of killing and murder and just terrible, terrible, terrible crimes against man and God, and how many people were fooled by his leadership. And then we go to America, where, you know, our own nation, have we ever been really wrong as a collective group? What about when the African-American people of our country were second-rate citizens? I mean, it's a time in our lifetimes when there is history that shows how ignorant a tremendous collection of people can be to what is proper and what is right, and how amazing it is to see that a few can lead many. And so today, being Father's Day, you know, the fathers of our country at that point were promoting this type of behavior of second-class citizenship. And God doesn't care what color our skin is. God doesn't care where we come from. God doesn't care what kind of house we live in, or what kind of car we drive, or what social status we have. Or you know, the Bible clearly says that God is close to the brokenhearted. The meek will inherit the earth, things of this nature. And so Thank God that we've, you know, come to our senses in these cases where man's will or man's desire was in place and just trashing the Word of God and the truth and what is important in our world, but also that the truth has now been has replaced those that ignorant time in our society when any man, you know, the Constitution of America, United States of America, says that we are all created equal, and it's true, and the Bible promotes that in a tremendous way. So once again, our country sort of losing touch with how the direction that God wanted it to go in early on, but correcting itself, and for that we're grateful, because every man is created equal, and we don't. It's all about each man's soul and what he has to offer as far as sharing his love of God and the Word and living in the truth and being a great example. And the question today is, as a father, what legacy we leave behind? Because all of us have an impact in this world in one way or another. And those of us that are fathers, it's such a awesome responsibility to make sure that our children are taught properly, and so that they can live a fruitful and healthy, functional life. But so many times we see in our society today where the teens in crisis and children that are defiant, and I find people asking all the time, what do I do about this? My child is out of control. What can be done? Where do I turn? What do I do? Well, in church today, at the Lighthouse Church, Christian Church of Oceanside, Pastor Mike, we were talking about how children are to be taught by their parents. The important thing is that the parents need to show through Scripture and through a great way of living, by example, how God wants us to live. We need to be great examples. It's not do what I say, not as I do. We can't sit there and tell our child, if we're people who curse or anything of this nature, not to curse, etc. You know, this is such an important thing, is that we need to be godly parents if we want to have godly children behind us. And the Bible clearly says that if we teach the children young, they will never leave them. When they learn the Scripture and the Word of God early on, and in any crisis whatsoever, it's the Word of God that does the work, and God, the Word of God that can solve these problems. And the mystery in life is there's many psychiatrists, psychologists, etc. Those people have a place, and it's a very valid way of sorting out issues, but it's all about the Bible. Whatever, it doesn't matter what the problem is, the solution is always God and Jesus. And the Scripture is what does the work of God to clarify and to bring sin out of us so God can bless our lives. So that being said, we're going to take a phone call from Arthur on line one. Hello, Arthur.
Well, hello there, brother. It's good to talk to you tonight.
How are you, sir?
I'm enjoying what you have to say.
Happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you so very much, and the same to you.
Indeed, it is a glorious day, actually.
Right, that's good. Yeah, I'm thinking about my sons. They're old and growing up, but they both love the Lord and are earnestly seeking after the Lord, and I believe the way you're raising your kids, you're going to have the same experience.
Well, I'm hoping and praying every day, Arthur, and I pray for my children, which is very important. Like we were just talking about, how the world has watched the children lose self-control. They have, we're watching our children now lose touch with the values and morals that were, when I was a child, I'm 46 years old, we used to be able to leave the doors open. We used to have children playing out front of their homes. We had, all types of people who were hardworking, and there was honor amongst men and things of this nature. And nowadays, you know, it seems as though we're in a trend where all of this is shifting to selfishness, and that people are becoming islands from each other, splinters off from the main island, and that we're all just going our own way, and it's not what God wants of us, and that God, where is God in the mix? And that's the scariest thing of all.
Well, one of the most terrible things that's going on in America today is that half of the children born in America don't have a father. Can you believe that?
That's very, very, very sad.
I mean, it's time that men somehow rise up and stick with those families and raise those kids, give them a chance to have a decent life.
Amen, Arthur. And of those ones who are still in the home, you know, what type of behavior is taking place in the home to promote goodness and wholesomeness and healthy living?
Right, for sure.
There's a scripture, Arthur, I'd like to read, and that is, it's one that I think a lot of people may find surprising, and that is that cursing, swearing and cursing is sinning against God. And I think this is one scripture that, when it came to me, it moved my life in a very powerful way. I'd like to read this for you. It's in James 3. It's called Taming the Tongue. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or take ships for it as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue, it is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who we have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. And I think the one thing about the scripture, Arthur, is that in many homes, this is a great example in modern day of how we can apply scripture to our lives. We cannot be hypocrites in our own homes, curse, and think that God can bless the cursing, as well as that our children won't do as they see and as they're being trained by the parent. So people think it's not a problem to say a curse word or whatever, but what happens is the Bible clearly teaches us that if you're living in a home and you're cursing, you're actually nullifying the word of God as you go on in your life. So you're sending mixed signals, and you're confusing the children, and then you wonder why, as they grow up, they're confused.
Right. Well, it's a practice of life that fathers are not really doing the job of training and correcting their children.
Amen.
They're letting children, you know, run roughshod in the home and everything else, until a lot of cases the parents are afraid of their kids.
Indeed.
Because they're not diligently working to train and coach them. It's a wonderful thing. I used to have my kids when they were 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. We'd sit around and we'd talk about the Word of God and Christ and the Christian life. And I can't tell you how bright those kids were and how they catch on and they get involved and stuff. And every one of them loves the Lord. All of the four kids, and they're all serious with the Lord. And that's years and years later. So it's a wonderful thing.
Amen. And you know, to share the truth in the Word, like we talked about earlier, the Bible clearly says that to teach the children young, and it will never leave them, to share God's love with them, to share His truth with them. And what's interesting to me is that our society has become self-indulgent, we're self-serving, and all of the selfishness that's going on. And after all the problems that are occurring in our society and the way we see things going sideways and really out of control, And people are literally standing in they're stopping in their tracks and saying, "Oh my goodness, what can I do about this? How do I change what I see? What behavior, you know, what can we do to fix this problem?" Well, I've been on both sides of the fence. I've been a person who didn't know the Lord. I grew up in a house where my father used to say to me, "You need God in your life." Well, that was really accurate, and I thank him for that. But the part of it that he was missing was that I need Scripture, and I need the Word of God and His precepts and commands and decrees in my life. Because to just have God in your life was half of the story. I mean, yes, we want to love God. We want to have God in our lives without a question. We want to love our God, etc. But without the Scripture, without the true Word of God and the precepts and the commands, and to learn how to absorb and read those and understand them and love them and follow them is where my dad's, you know, instruction fell short, because I didn't realize that there was a Bible and it was awesome. It's living and active, and it's able to look into us, into our souls, and we can, God does His finest work through His Word, through the Bible, and what an awesome gift it is to us. Once you start to get into the Bible and read it, it talks here, Arthur, in Matthew, let's see, this is 7:24. This is the wise and foolish builders. And it says here, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain comes down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on a rock. But everyone who hears the words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." And so the key is that, you know, are we building the foundation for our children as fathers and the example that we're setting? Are we building our homes on rock? Or are we building them on sand? Are we building them on what feels good and you know, the lure of society, the bling bling and the money and the rat race and, you know, beat the Joneses and all this type of thing? Or are we going back to the basics, which is God wants His children disciplined. He wants us to be self-controlled. He wants us to sacrifice for Him. You know, it's all about God. We bow to Him, and then He blesses us. It doesn't work any other way. This world thinks the world thinks that somebody owes Him something all of a sudden anymore. I mean, it's crazy, you know. Whatever happened to working for a living? You know, this drug market and easy money and all these kind of things. And God cannot and will not bless it. And it's clear that if we read the Scripture, you build your house on a rock, and it will stand. It will withstand the storms. There's not... In our lives, we'll always be seeing things that are, there will be turmoil in front of us. But all things work for the good of God for those who believe, says the Bible. And when we're walking with the Lord, when we're following His instruction, when we're showing our children how to live godly lives, those storms will come and go without harming us, as the Bible teaches us. On the other hand, we will be cursed and condemned if we do things on our own, in our own fashion, in our own desire, and mock God or don't pay attention to Him.
Another serious aspect of that, Mark, is that the sins of the father will be visited on the second and third generations.
Amen, brother. That's a sad...
You can provide a covering for your children right now. I don't care how old they are. You can provide a covering by walking in the ways and the will of God.
Amen.
And He says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." We all imagine we love God. We love Him to a degree. But this is the one that God takes notice of. He it is that loveth me, Jesus is saying, and I will love him, and the Father will love him, and we will come and dwell with him.
Amen.
In his house, in his heart, in his life, in his house, see?
Amen.
That's a tremendously important thing. And you talk about that discipline part. I'm looking right now at Hebrews 12. "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence."
Amen.
You know why that? Because we instinctively know we need correction.
Amen.
Little kids, you give them parameters and let them know that they've got to stay inside those parameters, and they'll come and hug your neck.
That's it. And
you don't, and they'll slap you in the face. They'll despise you.
Amen.
And And we give them reverence because it's just built into us that we want that discipline, we want that those parameters so we know when we're doing the right things. Shall we not much rather be in subjection under the Father's Spirit to live? That's not talking to the adult.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They verily for a few days chastened us, which means corrected us, sometimes fairly severely, after their own pleasure. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness.
Amen.
He has in mind us becoming godly people and passing it on to our children.
Amen.
Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. It isn't fun when it happens, but rather grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Then it goes on a couple of verses later and says, follow peace with all men. It causes you to be a peace-loving person. Mm. When you have your way as a little child, you're going to throw a fit every time you don't have your way. When you're 20 years old, when you're 30, when you're 40, 50, and sometimes that's going to end you up in jail.
Amen, brother. And
you
here,
can't get out of that.
Arthur, here in Ezekiel 37:24, it says, my servant David will be king over them, and they will have one shepherd. They will follow my laws and be careful to keep my decrees. They will live in the land I gave to my servant Jacob, and the land where your fathers lived, and their children and their children's children will live there forever. And David and my servant and their prince forever, I will make covenant of peace with them. I will have an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers. I will put my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord. Make Israel holy when my sanctuary is among them forever. And here it is again. It's Ezekiel 37:25. They will live in the land I gave to my servant Jacob, and the land where your fathers lived. And there, and their children and their children's children will live there forever. And God, in many places in the Bible, talks about the children's 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 children, you know, the generations to come. And there are blessed generations and there are cursed generations.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Tell you.
And a whole lot of that depends upon the Father, because it says that the righteous will be blessed for 1,000 generations.
Amen.
The godly man, his family will be blessed, but the other will be cursed because of the sins of the father. This
Amen.
Other in the scripture where it says, follow peace with all men, it says, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. God's a holy God. We're going to be surprised that we need to be holy when we stand before him. We need to have been living a godly life.
Amen. No question about it. And, you know, like we said earlier, Arthur, is that we have to lead by example. It's very important that this world see, you know, great examples of what type of behavior can and will be blessed by God from God's children, which we are, and then pass that on from generation to generation. But it has to be done in action. It can't be that we just, you know, say, do as we say and not as we do. I mean, you know, it just doesn't work that way. And Arthur, we're going to go ahead and take another call here, but God bless you, Arthur. We do love you with the love of the Lord here at 11th Hour Ministries, and you are one awesome man of God, and look how God's blessing your life. Your children follow and honor him, and that's just awesome and tremendous. So great Father's Day to you. God bless you, sir.
Likewise to you.
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye. We're going to take a call from Rick from Northern California. Hello, Rick.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, sir. And yourself?
Doing fine. Happy Father's Day to you and all the listeners out there.
And same to you, sir. Happy Father's Day.
Do appreciate that. I was listening to the last caller and the verses that you were going over, and it struck me. I had actually read through Exodus a couple years back after my father had passed away, and there was a lot of questions about, you know, why my dad always had a lot of questions about why his children, us four, had to go through a lot of the things that he did. And it really started to stand out to me that There must be a reason for it. And in reading in Exodus 34, verse 6, and this is around the time Moses was gathering the new tablets with the Ten Commandments on them.
Amen, brother.
This this verse, 34:6, book of Exodus, and I'll go ahead and read it real quick. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin.
Wow.
Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation.
Wow.
And not just dating it to, you know, my grandpa must have did something, but I mean, to go to the third and fourth generation specifically.
Wow.
It really goes to show you just how important it is to not only live a godly life and serve the Lord, but to lead by example for your children. And that to me as a father is one of the things that I there was a couple months back that I kind of lost sight of that, just how important that is. But if you really take a look at the way that your kids grow up and what they pick up on, and they start mimicking how you say things and how you walk even sometimes, or how you laugh, you really got to pay attention to how you live your life, because no matter how many kids you have, one or 20 or more or less, they are always looking at you as an example, and God has put you in that position for a reason. And if you don't obey that commandment that God has given us as fathers to raise our children in the way that they should go, look what could happen. I mean, you could be suffering as a third and fourth generation down the road. For if I were to make a mistake today, my third and fourth generation may be punished for it. And what kind of impact does that make on the kids that are going to grow up and be leaders of this country, run for president, senator, local office? They're going to be the teachers of your kids and grandkids. Mm. They're going to be people who directly or indirectly affect your life and the generations to come. And just how important is it every day when you wake up to not only die daily, but live a life that's godly and one that is going to serve the Lord and teach your young kids how to live and walk straight.
What a great witness, my brother. You know, it's really interesting, Rick, when you say all these things, it comes to my heart that, you know, it's people living our own lives. We kind of just pass by each other like a ship in the night in this world. You know, many people don't even know their neighbors and this kind of thing. And, you know, isn't it interesting that not only is the call urgent to us to make sure that our children and those around us, we do the best we can to influence each other into the Word of God, hold each other accountable to the Word of God, and try to share the truth and the Word with each, you know, the people in our lives. But just what you're saying is, imagine that if how urgent the call is that we need to get this message out to all peoples, because just like you said, it's not the people in our little circle or community that of loved ones, et cetera, that we may have to be concerned with per se. But what about the school teacher who's for the third generation cursed now, who will be the teacher of our child? Or like we see in this news lately, how many teachers there are on this planet Earth that are doing immoral things with children.
That's right.
In school, and how that will impact these children. Okay, this guy goes to jail for a few years. He does things. Well, how does that, what does that impact this person's life that he defied in an immoral way? And you know, how do we do anything to stop that type of behavior, or to, you know, rearrange this lost and dark world, to know that, you know, it's every single person, we all need to be accountable to the Word of God, to the truth, living like you said. Where I'd like to share with the listeners is that Rick and I are people who have two children each. We are people who know each other outside of this program, and God has put us together many years ago through business, and Rick and I have been in different walks with the Lord at certain times of our lives, and There have been times when we've been unclear and unfocused, and there have been times when we've been very strong and focused. And what God has done for us is through many different trials and tribulations and many different challenges to a worldly relationship that it through business would have been over, would have ended, and we would have went our separate ways. But so many different things that took place that would have brought us apart. We never focused on the things of the world. We knew God put us together. We stayed together with each other as brothers in Christ, because that's what we were commanded to do, and we knew it. And even in times when we didn't understand, the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding. And there were times when all we could say is, God's got a plan. I don't know what's going to happen next, but God's got a plan. And how amazing it is to be on the phone, on the radio with you, brother, right now, and sharing the testimony of how God has taken two men that have learned and grown, and how proud I am to be associated with you and to be your friend, brother, because, you know, God, or your brother, actually, is that God has taken us both. And well, one is weak, the other is strong. We've held each other accountable through some very difficult times. Keeping it real here at the 11th Hour Ministries, there were times when Rick and I have wandered away from the Word, or the Lord itself, I should say, not the Word, but, you know, God's direction. There were a few times where we were defiant, and you know, these things happen. These are the struggles we go through as Christians to find our way. But to know that in our hearts that we would be tricked by Satan, there will be times when we would turn away, but God corrects us, brings us back to, you know, true center, and how amazing it is to share his love with others that are struggling along to learn it as well, the mystery of the gospel. But yet, you know, for you to tell the listeners, Rick, to, you know, how important it is that you have gone through those trials, gone through those times, and yet have come out victorious, to realize that it's so important that your behavior in your home, that you being called the spiritual leader of your home by our Lord, and what results will come of that is just huge. And hopefully someone out here listening tonight can realize that, you know, God has a purpose for us all. God has a plan for our lives. And we're so desiring that people will to be a great example in their homes, and that we truly believe here in prayer at the 11th Hour Ministries is that God can change this entire world in the blink of an eye, and have every man drop to his knees, bow to his knees to his truth, to his word, and that he will be able to promote his goodness in homes, so we don't have to see these children suffering from molestation and starvation and neglect and all the different, you know, drug addiction, all kinds of horrific things that are just breaking God's heart on top of it.
That's right. Well, and what's important too is that all those fathers out there, I'd like to challenge all of them, everyone out there, if you haven't been a true father to your child, or maybe you haven't called your children or seen your children in a while, maybe you think that, you know, you've done something wrong, or that there's no reason why they'd want to be around you, yada, yada. Don't quit making the excuses. I'd like to challenge every father to today, tonight, right now, make a phone call or go see your children right now. And let them, at some point in the ASAP, go let your children know that you love them. It's never too late, guys. And I think we really need to challenge ourselves. And if you know, you're struggling as a father, if there's things that you need prayer for, you know what? There's people out there to pray with you. And you know what? God cares. And God, you know, has told us, he's promised us that, you know, as long as we have breath, that we will have a chance.
Amen.
And we do have an opportunity to be fathers, and it's never too late. I almost had, you know, my opportunity stripped away from me about 6 months ago, and sitting here on Father's Day and being able to enjoy my two kids this morning when I woke up, and they had cards and a gift for me. And, you know, it wasn't even important what was written in there or what was in the wrapping. What was important is that I was able to be a father, and they were recognizing that they did have a father. And you know what? God is so good, and God has blessed me beyond explanation. And the biggest blessing that he's ever given me is the opportunity to be a father, and next in line is giving me an opportunity to have a second chance at it.
I have God bumps here, sir. I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, I feel what you're saying, Rick, and the passion in your voice, to be able to know that there, you know, every single person falls short. There is no perfect person. And
sure.
The irony of it is that the challenge that you're putting out there, and the same for the children to the father, you know, reach out now and make Father's Day a day of reconciliation. Make
That's
Father's
right.
Day a day of honoring our Father God. Make it a day of humiliation and humbleness and forgiveness. And that's what this world is missing. You know, everyone keeps on keeping these silly problems in front of their nose. And it's so painful because it's really just blinding to what God truly wants. He wants someone to be the hero. Somebody make the phone call. Somebody forgive. Somebody step up and do the right thing. But mainly, you know, to read a Bible, to share the Word of God, Rick's saying there's many places that can help, but you know, a Bible-based church is really a great place to start, and just the Bible
Amen.
Itself. Here at the 11th Hour Ministries, we're more than happy to send a copy of what's called the Bible Promise Book to anyone who wants one at no charge, and that's just drop us a line at 11thHourMinistries.net, and we'll send you what's called the Bible Promise Book. It's a book filled with topics that have pure scripture. There's not a word in there that man has created outside of what God's word is in the Bible. And it goes to every single category in the book that helps, you know, promote and understand what the Bible talks about in anger, belief, charity, children, children's duties, comfort, contentment, correction, which is God's correction, courage, death, enemies, eternal life, faith, faithfulness of God, fear. It just goes on and on. So what it does is it separates out scripture that applies to each one of these: marriage, lying, lust, mercy, money, obedience, etc., sexual sins, etc. I mean, this is just an awesome book. So anyone is out there who knows anyone who needs to find the Lord, you know, find a greater relationship with the Lord. If you're feeling, if you're on fire for God and you want a copy, that's all good. If you know anyone who needs a copy, drop us a line at 11thHourMinistries.net and and we'll get a copy of this Bible Promise Book out to you for no charge. And the only reason why we put this program together, and we don't charge any money and we don't charge for Bibles, et cetera, is that we absolutely love God. This man on the radio with us right now, Rick, is an awesome brother. God tells us that those who follow the word and commands of the Lord are our mother and brothers and sisters. And to be able to share his truth, there was times, Rick, when you were in the darkness in your life, I assume. Can you share
Amen.
Some of the times, the difference between the darkness and the light and what life could be or would have been as opposed to what it is today on Father's Day? What a gift you had today.
Oh, the ironic thing is that, you know, I was in church this morning and just sitting back and was remembering my dad, who passed away just almost 4 years ago, and realizing what a blessing I had when he was around, and the fact that God completely turned his life around. I mean, he was deep into drugs and all kinds of immoral things, and he was saved back in 1984. And I tell you what, I mean, when I lost my father 4 years ago, and you know, it gave me kind of an excuse to act up and get away from God and do what I wanted to do and be selfish and, you know, relinquish my responsibility. And what a selfish act, and what a great God we have that he would excuse that and pardon me from it when I ask for forgiveness and allow me the second chance, allow me another opportunity to not only be a father to my children, but to also try to right some of the wrongs that were passed on to me from generations before me. I mean, it says in our word, I've been suffering for being punished for things that my great great grandpa did, great great grandma, et cetera, et cetera. And it just goes to show you just how important being a father is. And also, you know, I want to challenge everyone out there, you know, call your father tonight.
Amen.
Don't allow things to get in between that relationship, because You know, God commands us, honor your father and mother. Your days on this earth will be long.
Amen.
And, you know, do we you know, want to sit around and, you know, Dad wouldn't let me go to the prom. And, you know, there's so many excuses that people have out there not to honor that relationship and honor that commandment that God's given us, and that's to honor our father and mother. And at the same time, Dad, you know what, be a dad.
Amen.
Be a father, and don't allow excuses and you know, things that have happened get in between you. I wish that I had my father around today, but, you know, in a kind of an extraordinary sense, I sat in church today looking around, and, you know, I was wishing my dad was there. But, you know, God's healed me, and God's shown me that there is a reason why, you know, he's taken my dad, and that's so I could learn the things that I wasn't going to learn if he wasn't around anymore.
Well, you know, it's just so amazing to hear it in your voice, Rick. I mean, there's no question that, you know, today was the gift of your faithfulness to God. And, you know, during the times when the locust swarmed, is the way the Bible puts it, but during the times when all hell was breaking loose in yours and my life, where we've, you know, chosen drugs and all kinds of different acts that were defying our Father God, and with any type of behavior that was immoral or ungodly, you know, to have held each other accountable to, you know, it's interesting because the Bible clearly says that the truth will set you free. And what you're challenging folks is to, you know, keep it real and tell the truth and just let your heart out, and God will bless the truth. And there have been times in the relationship with Rick and I when in telling the truth being the hardest thing that one would ever think would be done between the two of us was the only way that God could bless it. There were times when Rick got on the phone and basically said, you know, you're messing up. And you can think you're doing it right, but you're wrong, and here's why. And he would go in the Bible and read scripture to me. And I'd actually remember a time when I was very, very angry at Mr. Rick here, and I just couldn't hear it. I didn't want to hear it, and I was so defiant. But what's interesting is that in loving me, he kept the word of God and the truth upmost, and I was in a position where I couldn't deny the truth and the scripture. So I kind of, I kind of assimilated like fishing, you know, the hook, Rick hooked me. So the first thing I do is just blast away. I take all kinds of line out on the drag. And, you know, it's interesting because you can run, but you can't hide. I mean, you know, here I am saying, you know, oh, whatever, you're wrong, blah, blah, and arguing. Well, only to realize that when I came to my senses, when I've been in humility and brokenness, to realize that my desires and my view of what was occurring in my life at that time was not according to God, not according to his precepts and commands, not according to brotherly love. Rick could have got on the phone and just yesed me to death and, you know, hey, buddy, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. That's a shame. You're having troubles. Okay, we'll talk to you next week. But no, he got in my life. He brought scripture to me that applied to this specific incident. And, you know, this is where God's children and the way he wants us to interact with each other and how the community of believers and the power of two, the guards that gather together in God's name, what he will do with them. And imagine how many people now, Rick, by your testimony and your witness, can be positively influenced by the Bible says all things work for the good of God for those who believe. Well, imagine that he can take any incident and turn it into positive. So when we have our darkest moments, when we're in the blackest hallways of life and we think we're no good or we can't be possibly, God can't bless our lives, et cetera, et cetera. It's exactly where you're talking about is, look at the sunshiny hug and kiss he gave you today with your children and your wife, your godly family, and your children's 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 children will be blessed according to your keeping the commands and the decrees and following the Lord and letting the children know as youngins that it's all about God, it's all about his truth, it's all about scripture. And what an awesome testimony and witness, brother. Listen, we have a few minutes here, Rich, and I'd like to wrap up in prayer. And if you want to start there, I'll wrap it up for us.
Sounds good. Dear Lord, we come to you today with heart's open and mind's open, Lord. We're here to receive your word. We're here to receive your blessing. And we know that you're every day and every minute and every second looking at our lives and looking at us and trying to give us the opportunity, Lord, to bless you with our actions and what we do every day. And we know, Lord, that the key to us learning and applying what we've heard tonight, Lord, is how we do things from here on out. What are we going to do when we get off the phone or turn the radio off? How are we going to apply what we've heard? Are we going to turn a deaf ear and not do what we know is right? We're not going to listen to our heart. I think that contrary to that, we're actually going to apply that, Lord. And I pray, Lord, you give us all the strength. I pray, Lord, for all those dads out there who don't think that they're worthy to be a father anymore. Maybe they've been told by their spouse or ex-spouse or girlfriend or even their kids that they're not their dad or you're not a dad to me. Lord, I pray that you heal those wounds. I pray that you go deep within the hearts of these men, Lord, and touch them and soften them, Lord, soften their spirit, bring them a conviction, Lord, inside of them with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that comes in and gives them the strength, the confidence, and the charisma, Lord, to stand up, be fathers, Lord, even if they've been told that they're not. I pray, Lord, that you reveal their duty, Lord, and their calling. And I pray, Lord, that you give all those men out there strength and you give them all the necessary tools, Lord, and fortify their spirits and give them the leading of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you promised. I pray all these things, Lord, in your name.
Amen. Brother, that was just absolutely phenomenal and awesome. We love you with the love of the Lord here at the 11th Hour Ministry.
Hey, same here.
We're going to go ahead and sign off with you, Rick. God bless you, sir. God bless your walk. God bless your family. And we love you with the love of the Lord, Bo. that wraps it up here tonight at the 11th Hour Ministries on KCEO Radio AM 1000. What an awesome, awesome Father's Day to honor our God, our Father God. Anyone in the Southern California region who wants to get to know our Lord more better, we highly recommend what's called the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside. It's in Oceanside, California. What an amazing church to go and honor and worship our Lord. We at the 11th Hour Ministries pray for all that you, God keep blessing us richly. Good night and God bless you.
AM 1000, KCEO, Vista, San Diego.
Independently owned and operated by the Astro Broadcasting.